tonight back to you, Lord. And we want to ask tonight that your word will have that effect on our lives, Lord, that it will change us, it will transform us. And as we open our hearts and our lives to you tonight, that you will come by your Spirit and just impart yourself to us, Lord. Like Romans 5 verse 5 says, that you've given us the Holy Spirit to transform us, Lord, to give us the love of the Father. And we thank you for that tonight. We thank you that we can live in that, we can have that peace, we can have that rest, we can have that joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the best definition I could get of a disciple is that one. I think it's very thorough. I think it's, I wouldn't be able to write a better one. That's why I took this one. So I'm going to read through it, and then I'm going to actually take it step by step. So just read with me there. A disciple is a follower of Christ who reflects the image of God by finding their identity in Jesus and expressing that identity through worship to God, community to the body of Christ, and mission to the world. I'm going to read it to you again. A disciple is a follower of Christ who reflects the image of God by finding their identity in Jesus and expressing that identity through worship to God, community to the body of Christ, and mission to the world. That's awesome. Great definition. Okay. First one is that we are reflectors of the image of God. There was a saying that some people will never read the Bible, they will never encounter God, they will never encounter the Word or never hear of God. So we are literally all they have. It's, can people see Christ in our lives? If someone looks at you, will they say, listen, this guy is different. There's something in him, there's a change in him because he follows Christ. And I want us to ask that to yourself tonight. Is that what you think the people at your work, in your school, wherever you go, think when they see you? Listen, there's something strange about this one. They're not strange because they fast and they pray and they do this and that, but they're strange because they follow Christ, and we can see that in them. We can see that there's something different. We can see they reflect the image of God. And I think that's a humbling place where every one of us must grow to. It's where we say, Jesus, we want to become more like you. We want to reflect your image. When people meet us, they must meet you. When people come into our space, they must have an encounter with you because we love you, because we serve you, because we worship you. They must get to know you because they get to know us. That will be an awesome, awesome testimony of our lives. And the only purpose we live for, it's not to make money. It's not to do good in sports like this weekend at interschools. No interschools jokes. Sorry, Michael. Boza, sorry. Hey, Marit. Our purpose is to bring God the glory. It's not to do anything else. It's to bring God glory. That's why we live, that's why we breathe, that's why we do what we do. And we must align our lives with that. Are we bringing God the proper glory that is He need? And obviously we grow in that to a place where we are willing to lay down our lives, literally. But we must ask God and say, Lord, I want to ask you to take me there quicker, faster, so that I can bring you the glory, so that I can reflect your image to this broken world. The second one is we must find our identity in Christ. Okay, now this is amazing. We don't get this right. And I include myself. We don't get this right. Reinhard spoke to the Laborie. Laborie guys, the other guys and girls, the other evening, and we just realized again how people, and especially the younger generation, are just not finding their identity in Christ. It's in everything else but Christ. And we showed them a clip of Lion King, where all of you have seen that clip, I think. It's a powerful clip. You can go and watch Lion King again tonight if you want to. But Nala is a prince that doesn't know he's a prince. Simba is a prince that doesn't know he's a prince. And Nala comes and she tells him, listen, this is actually who you are. You're supposed to be a king, but you're acting Hakuna Matata. You're out here with Timon and Pumbaa, which is no good. It's a waste of time. Come on, live to your purpose, what you've been called for, what you've been doing. Live in your father's footsteps. And then he's got an encounter with Rafiki, what we say is the Holy Spirit. Rafiki gave him a few klapper and said, listen, I know who you are. You are Mufasa's boy. You are your father's son. That's who you are. That's your identity. You belong to your father. And that's the same for us. We belong to Christ. And if we want to say, listen, I know my identity. I know what it is. We must say that our identity is the same as God defines us. Now, I want to read you that, how God defines us. It's just short pieces that I wrote there. God defines us firstly by what Jesus has done on the cross. He doesn't define us on anything else but by what Jesus has done on the cross. Next one is He don't define us by what we have done, what we do, or the things we have. He doesn't define us by what we've done, what we are doing, or the things that we have. Third one is Jesus atoned for our sins. Romans 3 verse 25, Jesus atoned for our sins. So He doesn't define us by our sins. He doesn't define you by your weaknesses, by your immorality, by your depression, by whatever it is you're struggling with. He doesn't define you by that. He defines you by what Jesus has done on the cross and that He has atoned for our sins. Next one is that He's clothed us in righteousness. Isaiah 61 verse 10. Martin Luther says that is the great exchange. The day when we get born again, we say, yes, Lord. We get the righteousness of Christ. And He receives our sins and take it upon Himself. Every one of you have done rekeningkunde at school. Yes? You've done rekeningkunde. Yes? You know the teerekening. Good old teerekening. You know him. I'm going to explain it to you by the teerekening. Teerekening, Reinhard Pretorius. Algemene Grootboek. Streek om. Debit side is where we get stuff. It's good for us. It's our assets, bought us. The credit side is our liabilities. It's the laster. It's stuff that decreases our value. Now, what happened to Reinhard Pretorius? When are you? Is your birthday, Reinhard? Yes. That's profound. That's why I've used you as an example. The same day as Jesus. The same day as Jesus. This man is amazing. Okay. 25 December. Reinhard Pretorius, credit count, credit side, okay? Sins of Adam is credited to his account, and it's like millions. So he inherits sin from his previous generation. His mother is here, so I don't hope this offends you, but it's actually scriptural that he inherits your sins. So Reinhard inherits sin, the credit side, and it's a lot. Debit side, when did you get saved, Reinhard? When did you give your life to the Lord? Do you have high school. Okay, let's say grade 8, whichever date, debit side, Reinhard gives his life to the Lord, okay, and the inscription would be the righteousness of Christ. And then that thy reckoning shall balanceer. Okay, it would be null. And then even more, you will receive the Holy Spirit. So you will go into the plus on the debit side. But that's exactly what Christ comes to do. Is the day when we come and we give our lives to Him, He says, listen, this is a great deal. You are giving me your sins, everything that you've done in the past, you're giving me, and even are going to do in the future. You're giving it to me, and I will clothe you with my righteousness. The fact that Jesus died for us, the fact that He never sinned, that He's perfect in every way, He gives to us, and He clothes us with it. That is our identity. And many of us struggle with this. We feel unworthy. We feel the past disqualify us. We get condemned and accused by the past, and it's not necessary. Jesus said, listen, it's wiped away. It's clean. You start new. You start afresh. Okay. Next one is, we are adopted as sons and daughters. Romans 8 verse 23. We are adopted as sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. And this is our identity. This is how God sees us. It's by these things. Not by what we have, what we do, or what we will do. It's by these things. We are in Christ. That is our identity. The next one is that we are created to worship Him. Very simple. That is why we are here. It's to worship Him. That's why we are here tonight. Some of us jump around. Others do it in their way. But I want to tell you this about worship and what we've experienced as well this weekend, that we must do that with freedom. We mustn't come and say, Lord, I'm not list to worship tonight. I'm not here. I'm not feeling it. The band, it's too loud. Leon, the drummer, is the heart. And Andre is not on note. Lord, I'm not feeling it tonight. We've got a remedy for that, and I'll give it to you now with when it comes to the Holy Spirit. But when we worship God, we just say, Lord, I want to forget about anything and everything. I want to focus on you tonight. And if I want to jump, I'm going to jump. If I want to lay here on my face in this aisle, I will do that. If that is my worship to you, then that will glorify you. I've got a friend in Ismare, which always he laid on his face. It was the weirdest thing. George King. Bye for you again for George King. George King, just when we just came into the presence of God, he just stretched himself out and lay there. But it was great seeing him because he was worshiping God by doing that. So I want to ask some of you that if you don't have that freedom in worship, that tonight if we sing the last song, that you will just let go. I remember how bad it was the first time for me to just raise my hands. I thought I'm going to die. The whole church of about 800 or 1,000 people are looking at me. Everyone is with their eyes closed. No one is. I don't even think the person next to me was looking at me. And I just raised it like this. And it was awesome. I felt so much freedom because this is how we worship God. It's jumping, it's singing, it's dancing, it's joyful. That is how we worship. And we are created to worship Him in spirit and in truth, not holding back. David was radical. This man danced before the whole Israel naked. 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 I don't think me and Rick must get us a little... No. Rick says, no, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. But what I want to say about that is, he had no shame. He had no shame. Even his wife came to him and said, listen, you're not lekker. Why are you dancing naked in front of the whole nation? You're making a fool of yourself. And he said, listen, I will even be more unworthy and undignified than this to worship the King of Kings. That is my heart. That is that I come unashamedly. I come into the presence of God. I don't care what the people think. So if I jump up and down here in front, I don't care what you think. And I shouldn't care. And you shouldn't care. Because we're saying, Lord, this is what we're made for. We want to worship you. We want to adore you. And that is bringing glory to God. And that is being a disciple of Him. We cannot be disciples if we don't worship Him. If we don't have a relationship where we worship Him, where we are thankful. When you fast for a few days, you begin to murmur. Okay, like, coffee, steak and chips, mushroom sauce. And then it's so quick, you can feel literally the Holy Spirit and actually His presence just leaving you. Because you're just being negative the whole time. When you change your attitude, you just say, Lord, thank you that I can actually fast. Thank you that I can give up this food to seek your face. For myself, for Paul, for this church, for this family. When our attitude changes like that, then it lifts. And we experience God and we experience His presence. And there's some of us that's actually still in bondage with worship. And we must just let go. Just let go. Say, Lord, tonight, if I'm going to do it for the first time, maybe I want to be in the back. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to shout. I'm going to be joyful. Because that is how I want to respond to you. Not only in the rugby, but also in the church. I want to respond in that way to you. Okay. Worshippers. The next one is that we will be in community. We've spoken about this, so I'm not gonna speak about this actually. This is the spiritual family. That is us. This is us. We are disciples by the way we live to one another. Okay? Examples in the word that we see of community is the Trinity. It's that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in perfect unity as an example for us, that we should be in perfect unity. As we were praying this weekend, we just felt in unity. I don't know if the people that fasted agrees with me, but we felt unity. We felt, listen, we are here for the same purpose, is to seek God's face And that unity makes a big difference in the way you pray, the way we see each other. It's just blessed to be in that unity. And that is what community is. So we see that in the Trinity. We see that in Jesus and in his disciples' lives. Jesus said, whoever does my will, he is my brother, he is my sister, he is my mother. Spiritual family comes first. And we see the same. If we want to be a disciple, it must be actually the same. We must say, Jesus, we are accountable and obedient to you first. We want to love your people and we are obedient to you first. And the last one is we see the perfect, the perfect family, I would call it, the ultimate family in Acts, the way those guys shared their possessions, they sold everything they had, they lived for each other. They lived for each other in perfect community. Then the last one is our relationship to the world. We're still speaking about disciples. Thank you. And this is easy. I would love, and I'm going to preach on this still, because this is really my heart as well, is that church, and I've said this over and over, but church is the only organization that exists for its non-members. Okay, we exist to see God's kingdom come in Paul. We exist that these chairs may be filled. Amen? So, look at these blank chairs tonight, and then you see your friend or your family member or whoever sit there. And tonight, when we're finished, I want to challenge you. I know CS has done this many times. He says it works. He comes before the service, and he prays for every single chair, and he prophesies over the chairs, and he says, Lord, people who sit in this chair will get saved tonight. I'm trusting you that someone is going to sit in this chair tonight. But people will not sit in these chairs if we don't invite them. It's very easy to invite someone to church. You don't say, hey buddy, will you come with me to church, please? And we sing a bit, drink like a coffee. No one will come if you do it like that. Okay? We must be passionate about it. We must be excited about it. The CD launch is a perfect example, perfect opportunity for us to invite every single one that we know, at work, everywhere. We say, listen, the most awesome band, they're making a CD, they're selling the CD, it's the launch, they're coming to Paul, we want to invite you to church, take that pamphlet thing on the chair and go and give it to someone at work. Say, listen, I'm excited about you, you should come, you're going to miss out if you don't come. Why are they going to miss out? Because they're going to miss out on an encounter with God. That's why we are inviting them. It's because they will have an encounter with God and Christ in this place. And that's why we're trusting the Lord for. So if that's not happening too often, we must ask, are we still inviting people? Are we still inviting our friends? Are we still inviting people that we are praying for? Because that is why we exist. It's to go out and to make disciples. Jesus said that it's one of his commands. Towards his disciple. Then the last thing I want to say about this discipleship is how do we grow as disciples? Okay? How do we grow as disciples? That's a good question for us. And there I've written, we grow as disciples as we learn to turn the expressions of our heart to God. So when you read the Bible, you look for the following. I want to tell you, we must read our Bible, huh? I know in charismatic churches, it sometimes gets neglected, but we must read our Bibles. You must spend time in the Word. Because in the Word is like a mirror. It's where you see your sins, you see your weaknesses, you see things, and you repent about it and you grow. So we need to read our Bibles, please. We cannot not read our Bibles. And not because we must read it because that's what Christians do. We must have a hunger and a desire for the Word. And I want to tell you, it's strange how this works. I've experienced it in my own life. If you don't read the Word, you will not have a hunger for the Word. The more you read the Word, the more you will have a hunger for the Word. It's like the society and gestelde van hoe die wereld werk. The more we do it, the more we want to do it. The more you pray, the more you will want to pray. Because you'll experience God. If you've got no desire for the Word tonight, it's probably because you don't read the Word. Then you just start systematically, almost religiously, just reading the Word. Just start reading the Word. Say, Lord, each morning in half an hour, I'm going to read the Word. And you read the Word. two chapters, you reflect on it, you say, Lord, what does this mean for me? How does this impact my life? What does this say for me? And how do I respond to this in prayer? And then you pray. Then you pray for a few minutes, how long ever you want to do it. But we must spend time in the Word. So what do we look for when we read the Word? Is that we must see, like I said, the Bible is a mirror. So we are actually comparing our lives to the life, the standards of God. And we're seeing, listen, if this doesn't align, then we've got sins to confess. That's why it's sometimes hard to read the Word, because it's actually challenging every single morning. It's like, Lord, Peter walked past these guys and his shadow fell on them and they got healed. Now, what do I do with that? Lord, my life is not there. My shadow falls on people and they don't get healed. But I want to get there. I want to have the faith to get there. So take me there. Okay? Jesus says, love people as I have loved you. Lord, if I must search my heart, I don't love people in that way. But take me there. I want to confess it, that I'm maybe loveless. Lord, that my heart is hardened towards people. Take me to that place where I can love people as you love me. Okay, that's why we read the Word, we confess the Word, we proclaim the Word. We take the promises for ourselves and we confess the sins. It's like a mirror. The second thing is there's promises in the Word that we claim. And we say, Lord, I want to make this for myself. I want to take this. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. If you struggle with fear, you will not be able to convince yourself with positive thinking that you don't have any fear. I don't know if you know that doesn't work. Positive thinking doesn't work in spiritual stuff. In natural stuff, maybe, to push through, do your best, soulishly it will work for you. But in the spirit, you cannot tell a depressed person, listen, just think positively, man. It will happen for you. It doesn't happen for them because it's a spirit. And we must address the spirit with the Bible, with the Spirit of God, which He gave us. So there's promises in there, like He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Don't matter. It doesn't matter where your life are tonight, what's in your life, what's happening in your life. There's a scripture that's applicable to what's happening in your life, which you can proclaim and say, Lord, I want that for myself. Jesus, I want that love that you had for us. I want that. I want that love for one another. And you just keep on claiming it over your life, over your life, over your life. And the Word will not return void. It will be true in your own life. Then the next one is there's examples to follow or to avoid in Scripture. We look at the mistakes that these guys have made, the successes that they have, and we follow that or we don't follow that. And there's commands to obey. Okay? I wish I could. I think about discipleship, what I wanted to do is I actually just wanted to see what the commands of Christ was. What's the things that He said, and then just throw it up there and say, listen, let's just look at our lives. Is this true in our life? Go and make disciples of all the nations. Is that there? Do we have a desire to make disciples? Worship me in spirit and in truth. Is that there? Love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. All the commands of Christ, it's there to obey. And that's why I said in the beginning as well, I think the problem many times with us and with myself is we read the Word, but we don't apply it to our lives. We need to apply the Word to our lives, otherwise it will be of no effect. You can read the finesse or the sorry, because if you don't apply it to your life, you're wasting time. Really. So take the Word, say, Lord, this is relevant for me today. I want to apply this to my life. Okay? And we let the Word renew our minds and we will be transformed and become disciples of Christ. So let's just go and look at that definition again nearly for a last time. If we can, go back. So the definition of a disciple is someone who is a follower of Christ. That's something we actually talked about. It's someone who reflects the image of God. When people encounter you, they know they've encountered God, they've encountered Christ. By finding their identity in Jesus, by finding our identity in Christ, we reflect His image. So when we are sure of ourselves, with confidence, saying, Jesus, I know that you, or God, you define me as this, that You paid for my sins. Jesus paid for my sins. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I'm adopted as a son and a daughter. We glorify God and His image by doing that. And expressing that identity, which we know, through worship, becoming worshipers, just worshiping the Lord, community to the body of Christ, loving the family, loving our brothers and sisters, and lastly, mission to the world. Going out, making disciples, testifying, inviting people to church, saying, listen, come, you are going to have an encounter with Christ in this place. That is a great definition for being a disciple. And I think the last thing that I want to say about this is that the most important thing with Jesus, with what I can find in my own life, is that we must always remain in a place where we are intimate with Him. The moment when we move out of a place of intimacy, it's dangerous. Okay? We stay intimate. We stay in that place. We stay rooted into the vine. We say, Jesus, I want to stay in that place where I can call on you and experience your presence. And if that has left you tonight, if you cannot connect to the Lord, you, in quiet time or wherever, you must come afterwards. We want to pray with you. Because that is our source. Without that intimacy, you cannot live. You cannot be a disciple. Christianity is going to be the biggest burden that you'll ever have. It's the truth. If you do Christianity halfway, it will be a set of rules and it will be nasty. Dit gaan nie lekker wees nie. But when we do it full out, there's joy in His presence, there's freedom, there's an intimacy, there's fulfillment, and that's great. That's what we want. And we don't want to be in this place where we are lukewarm or we are actually starting to backslide. So, to becoming a disciple is all that we said. It's to worship God, to be in community, it's to do missions, that three relationships, but it's also to stay in intimacy with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be in that place where I can hear your voice, I can experience your presence every day. Are you still all awake? Clap for yourself. Be moving along. Clap, clap, clap. Now say. Okay. Next one, which I am very excited about as well, is our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And this is an interesting relationship. It is one where we are partners. What I actually think would be a brilliant idea for a sermon, and I'll do it some other time, is having, I've heard someone do this, so I would copy them and do this as well. A guy coming into the sermon with a parrot on his shoulder. So ek kom hier ingestap met Rian se papegaai. And then maybe speaking to you and shouting at the parrot, and he'll start to fly away. That is exactly actually how our relationship with the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is gentle. We can quench Him. He's got the characteristics of a person. We can quench Him. We can literally offend Him and not feel His presence. But if we stay in that place of intimacy, He will literally stay on our shoulder the whole time. And it would be a joy ride to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we can either in our lives overemphasize this or underemphasize this. And both is not good. Okay, if we are too spiritual and not in the Word, not based on Scripture, not following Christ, doing our own thing, that's not good. But if we don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's actually an amazing gift that the Lord gives us that we must just take. It's the greatest gift there is the Holy Spirit. I can tell you, it changed my life forever. And this is basic stuff, I know, but we need to hear the basics and respond to the basics. So the first thing about the Holy Spirit I want to say is we receive the Holy Spirit when we are born again. Okay? The day we are born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. He comes and lives inside of us, the Spirit of Christ. He comes to live inside of us. But Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, do not get drunk with wine, like the interschools after parties. I'm joking. We went to walk on the streets last night. Interesting. Michael, luckily I didn't see any of you there. No, he wasn't there. They were having an after party kayer at the Masonic Lodge next to the museum. Very interesting. gathered in the Freemasons Hall. But no one was really drunk at 9 o'clock. Tani Tersia said they went on till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, so I don't know. Maybe there was a few of them. But anyway, Scripture says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Ek weet nie of daai het seker nie reg uitgespreek nie. Debauchery. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now I want you to just get this. This is quite normal, and some of you might know this, but when we get filled with the Spirit the day we receive Christ, we receive an impartation of the Holy Spirit. But we can every day continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. This must be part of our prayer life in the morning. Say, Lord, this morning, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit from head to toe. I want to be filled with your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want to be sensitive to you today. I want to respond to your words. I want to listen to your commands. I want to do what you want me to do. Okay, and all the Holy Spirit does is He reveals Jesus. He reveals Jesus to us and He makes Him more clear. So He literally takes our eyes and He turns it to Christ the whole time. Okay? But we must be filled with the Holy Spirit continually. Many of us, we come to, in times, I've been there 1,000 times where I feel a bit dry. I feel, listen, if I pray, my prayers go to the roof and down. It's not that nice. I don't feel it. And then we go and we say, Lord, just fill me with your Spirit again. Tonight, I want to ask you to just fill me. I know I can come as much as I want to you, just to fill me and fill me and fill me again. Okay? Next slide. What can I ask the Holy Spirit? Okay? Personally, for yourself, what can you ask the Holy Spirit? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? What is He here to do? And this is just four things. The first one is the Holy Spirit lead us into truth. John 16 verse 13 says that. So if you are confused on a certain matter, your prayer is, Holy Spirit, lead me into all truth, please. Lead me into truth. Lead me into the way of truth. Reveal the truth to me. Before you read the word, this is not the word, but say, for instance, this is the word, in the morning. You say, Holy Spirit, I pray that this word will fill me and that you will reveal Christ and yourself and the Father to me through this word. Make it alive to me so that I can read it in Jesus' name. Because He wants to lead you into truth. The second thing, the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. John 16 verse 8 says that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. That's not only the unsaved world, that includes us. He convicts every single one of sin. Okay? This is the role of the Holy Spirit. There's some teachers and preachers that say that the Holy Spirit doesn't convict us of sin. I can find nothing in Scripture and actually in my own life that the Holy Spirit doesn't convict me of sin. If I slap my wife tonight, when I get home, why did you make sandwiches for me? Then the Holy Spirit will tell me, Gili, yo mugu. You must go and repent. This is not in line with the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And this is very powerful. This is actually a tool we can also use in relationships. We can pray that the Holy Spirit convict people of sin as well. Other people. So, when me and my wife stray, when we have a fight or anything, and I know, listen, I'm right. Or I see this thing in our life, but I don't want to address it like that because I know it's going to be sensitive. Then I go into prayer. I pray. I say, Lord, convict Ilana of this and this and this. I haven't done this yet, but it will work correctly. I've read a story about a guy who said he and his wife had problems with their child, both believers. His wife will tell him, listen, don't do that, and he'll do it. Twice, three times, four times, and they didn't know what to do. They don't want to manipulate him. They don't want to be religious with him. So what he did, he went to his son, he picked him up, he laid his hands on his head, and he said, Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray that Holy Spirit, you will come and convict Johnny of his sins, of his hard-heartedness and his stubbornness in Jesus' name. And he put him down again. And he says his son just stared at him like this. And he went to his room. And 2 minutes later, he came back crying, repenting, saying, "Mom, Dad, I just want to say, I'm sorry. I can see I'm stubborn. I can see I'm rebellious. I want to repent of my sin." And he changed his heart. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a great tool for us to use and in our own lives. If we think that we are without sin, you're deceiving yourself. If I think, listen, I've arrived, I'm without sin, so holy, 3-day fast, take me up to heaven, I'm ready, like Enoch and Elijah, it's not happening. Okay? Then I say, "Lord, just show me, Holy Spirit, your sin." And you know what's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is that He does it so gently. He doesn't do it like how us humans do it. Like this in your life and that in your life. He's very gentle. He will not make you feel condemned or bad. He will just convict you of sin gently, and you will actually have a desire to repent of that sin. He will show you a picture of Christ or something perfect. If you've got maybe a problem with fear, He'll show you faith in someone's life, and He'll say, don't you have a desire to be like that? Say, "Yes, Lord, I've got a desire. I want to repent of fear. I want to repent of this." It's very gentle. The third thing is that the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. He will teach you what to say. When we don't know how to invite people, or how to speak to people, or how to minister to people, how to pray for people, the Holy Spirit will teach you. You just go up to them, and you stand there, and then you pray, say, "Holy Spirit, give me the words right now." And you say, "Just wait on, hold on." And then you speak. But don't do it like that. Rian, don't do it like that. But go. And when you go in faith, you just say, "Holy Spirit, I want you to lead me and to guide me." In the hostel, we did this many times. I was really uneducated and very arrogant and a lot of things. But what we did, what I had a heart for is to see people get saved, to see them experience the same thing as I do. I didn't have the words to tell them, "Listen, this is the problems." I didn't have the wisdom to counsel them. But I went up to them, I spoke the word, and I trusted the Holy Spirit. And every time they responded, they said, "Listen, that's great. I'll take that," or, "No, that's not this so good for me." So if we're struggling with boldness, the Holy Spirit will lead you to say what you need to say. Many times when we facilitate worship, I don't know where the Holy Spirit wants to take us. So my prayer must be, "Holy Spirit, teach me what to say. Lead me how to facilitate this in the right direction so that we can follow you." So we must trust the Holy Spirit to know what we need to say. I must do that every Sunday as we preach. Pray and say, "Lord, where are you leading us? Where are you guiding us? Holy Spirit, I want to trust for your word that will lead us in a certain direction." The next one is the Holy Spirit will give us a heart of worship. Philippians 3 verse 3 says that. You can go and look at it at home. That's in the beginning what I said. If we come in here, and I want to tell you, I'm at that place many times as well. I don't want to portray that I'm holy tonight. That I don't feel like worshiping. Some mornings I wake up, I don't feel like worshiping. I'm like, "Lord, I want to spend another hour in the bed. Please leave me." As I do that, I come to the Lord and I say, "Holy Spirit, you are the perfect worshiper. You give unceasing worship to God. I want to tap into that worship. Give me a heart for worship tonight or this morning. Give me a heart for worship." And the Holy Spirit will come and he'll turn your heart to give you a heart of worship. And next slide, we get a second encounter with the Holy Spirit where we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We said we get filled with the Holy Spirit when we get saved and born again, but the second one is when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this is quite easy, very foreign to some of us that come from the more traditional background, but I tell you, this will change your life as well. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, Acts 1 verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Baptism in the Holy Spirit, we lay hands on people. It can happen spontaneously, and we say, "Lord, we want to ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will baptize them. As the Holy Spirit baptizes you, it's like he comes and he fills your whole personality. So like water baptism, when you go under and up, Holy Spirit baptism is like that. It's like your whole personality, the whole of you are clothed with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power to be his witness. You will go and witness. You will receive the ability to pray in tongues. Maybe you've heard this with some of us that in worship we do that. It's an amazing gift from God. Okay? An amazing gift from God. And Holy Spirit baptism will change your life. I see this with the youth every single time. I still need to meet the person. When we pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, who says afterwards, "Ach, that was mediocre." No one does that. Because it's an encounter with God. It's an encounter with the Holy Spirit, which changes them. I've seen guys literally blush from the warmth of the Holy Spirit. Like their faces will turn red for 10 minutes. They'll just sit there with red all over them. I'll just say, just sit here, it's fine. Moet nie so uitgaan naar jou vrienden toe nie. Hulle gaan dink jy's Moses wat van die berg afkom. But the strangest things, we've prayed for a guy one evening, and for 30 minutes, he was so overwhelmed by the power of God that he couldn't stand up to walk home. He was just sitting there. He was just like going, it's amazing. That's amazing. Because Romans 5 verse 5 says that we will feel the love of the Father when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. Okay, and that's what happens when people get baptized with the Holy Spirit. We experience the love of the Father. It's like this rain. It just rains on you. Like we sang previously. Is there another slide? No one. Okay, get right. I want to ask you concerning the Holy Spirit, the following, something that the Lord convicted me, I'm finished almost, is how much time, if you're saved and Spirit-filled tonight, how much time do we spend praying in tongues, and how much time do we spend seeking the Lord for His gifts to edify the church? Because we know that praying in tongues is for ourselves and for our own edification. When we get baptized with the Holy Spirit, we receive the ability to pray in tongues, to build up our own spirit. Okay? But the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, is there to edify the church. So how much time do we spend, say, Lord, I've got a desire. That's what 1 Corinthians 12 or 14 says. It says we must covet to prophesy. That the correct translation for that is actually we must lust after prophecy. We must go after it almost lustfully. And we don't actually do that. Our prayer must be, Lord, I spend so much time praying in the Spirit, and that is good. It's a discipline. It's needed. But Lord, I want to spend some time just asking you for your gifts so that I can give it to the church, so that I can edify the church, so that I can live in it with the church, so that I can move in it, so that I can edify people and speak into their lives, see them healed, see them set free. And I'm trusting the Lord for that as well. Okay, it's not manifesting in my life as I would want it to be. So I want to ask and throw it out there. We must trust the Lord and say, Lord, I want that to manifest in my life. I want that gift of the Holy Spirit to manifest in my life. Wherever I go, I want to be open to hear your voice, Holy Spirit. To have the boldness to respond to it and to go out and build the kingdom. Okay. Andre, you can Andre Mankies, you can maybe come and tockle for us here on the guitar. Can we stand tonight? Some of you are gonna fall asleep. I never want to see water again. I've had enough of this stuff this 3 days. Okay, let's respond to this tonight. Let's just close our eyes tonight, and we're gonna in a while worship one last song. But while they're coming up, I want us to pray and you to take into consideration the stuff that we spoke about tonight. The first thing I wanna ask is, when we talk about discipleship and when we say, listen, do we follow Christ? I want each and every one of you, and I want you to forget about everything now. Forget about the rain outside. Forget about your friends. Forget about the person standing next to you. Take your own life tonight. Okay? Take your own life tonight and meditate on this. Think about this now and let us respond to this. If we talk about discipleship, can we say, Christ, I've got a desire to still follow you. Lord, I've got a desire. I don't care how much it costs. What's the price I need to pay? But I've got a desire to follow you. I've got a desire for intimacy, Lord. When I call upon your name, you are there. I can hear your voice. Jesus, I can experience you. And I want to walk after you. I want to mirror your image. I want to show the world who you are, Lord. I want to show the world who you are. I want to have that legacy that wherever I go, people will say that they had an encounter with Christ. They cannot be the same because Rudolph walked into the room, because Chris walked into the room, because Henny walked into the room. And as they walked in, they ushered in the presence of God. So I don't know where you are tonight, if you're filled with the presence of God. If you are void of the presence of God, if there's no presence of God in your life, if you're struggling to connect to Jesus, you're struggling to connect to Him, you're struggling to follow Him, you're struggling to be obedient to what He's commanded you, then we want to pray with you. And the second group, as I'm gonna call you now, but the second group is with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you've lost that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, you've actually lost that because you've just wasted it away. You've just fell into sin or your heart is hardened. But you've lost that sensitivity with the Holy Spirit. You know that He's no longer sitting on your shoulder like that dove that I said. You know that He's no longer actually with you, and you cannot hear His voice that well. You cannot respond to Him. Or maybe you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit in your life. Then we want to pray with you tonight. Maybe you're just empty and you're just saying, Lord, I just feel like a desert. And I want to respond to you tonight. I want to respond to your Holy Spirit. And I want to say, Lord, more of you, Lord. More of you. I want an intimacy tonight with you, Lord, that I don't have with anyone else. It's in a different level. Because I love you, Lord. Because I want to pursue you. I want to seek you. I want to know you, like we sang. So I want to ask the first group. I want to ask, if you are in this place and you've never made a decision for Christ, you've never made a decision. You said, listen, I'll do it at home. I'll do it when I'm 40. I'll do it when I'm 50. I'm going to postpone it. Jesus is in this place tonight and He wants a relationship with each and every one of us. He died on the cross so that you can be set free, so that you can be delivered, so that you can have His righteousness, so that you can live in freedom, you can live in liberty, you can live in the truth. So tonight I want to ask, if there's anyone like that, we would love to pray with you. But you must just slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to trust that the Lord will do something in your life. You will become born again tonight. If there's anyone like that, just slip up your hand. Say, listen, I want you guys to pray with me. I want that relationship. I've maybe experienced that in worship. I've experienced Christ in worship, but I've never actually made a commitment to Him. Or if you are here tonight and you've lost your intimacy with Jesus, you've lost that intimacy. You say, Lord, I can't hear your voice. I can't come into your presence, Lord. It feels like that cord is cut. I want to respond to that tonight. If there's anyone like that tonight, you want to respond to that. Just intimacy, being intimate with the Lord. You feel you've lost that in a certain way. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then if you are here tonight And you're saying, listen, my relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's just dead, it's dry. I've just lost that connection with Him as well. I wanna put that right again tonight. I wanna repent of whatever has come in the way of my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Then we would love to pray with you. Is there anyone like that saying, listen, I want you to just pray with me for the Holy Spirit tonight? Maybe for a new infilling, just feeling dry, feeling worthless, feeling like there's nothing going on in your life. There's a hand. Is there anyone else? There we go. There we go. Okay. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to worship one last song. Isn't that right? And before that, I'm gonna pray for us. So what we're going to do in worship, if you want to respond to anything that I've said tonight, you just feel this tugging on your heart. Maybe you don't know what it is exactly. We would love to pray with you. I tell you, there's an anointing to walk from your chair to the front and to come to the front and say, listen, I want to humble myself and I want you to pray with me. And we just pray with you. We share with you. We encourage you, whatever the need is. So the lights are dimmed. We're going to worship. In worship, if you feel, listen, I want to respond to whatever, come, let us pray for you. Let us pray for you. Lord, we want to say thank you for your word tonight that is living. It's sharp. It's a two-edged sword, Lord. And we want to thank you that your word does not return void, Lord. And it tonight will have the proper effect on us, Lord. That Jesus, we will be disciples, Lord, called by your name, Lord. We will reflect your image. We will worship you, Lord. We will live in community. We will have a mission to the world, Lord. We want to be disciples. We want to be followers of you, Lord. And we want to say, Holy Spirit, that we want to partner with you tonight in the works of the kingdom. We want to partner with you to make Jesus known to the world. We want to experience your presence in our own lives, Lord. But we also want to experience your presence while we're ministering to people, while we're praying to people, Lord. And maybe we're not feeling that power in our life tonight, Lord. We're not feeling that, Lord, just that urge and desire to pray for people, to minister to people. Lord, and I believe tonight you want to just release a boldness over us, Lord, to go and do it, Lord, to run after people, to pursue people with the love of Christ, obeying the Holy Spirit, Lord. And we thank you that you will release that boldness to us tonight, Lord, as we just humble ourselves and say, Lord, more of you. Holy Spirit, I want that Acts 1:8. I want that, Lord. I want that power to go out and to witness for you. So, Lord, I pray that you will walk literally tonight through us, Lord, and touch our hearts, touch our lives, our minds, Father, everything, our spirits, Lord, so that we can worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, Lord, so that we can respond to you and give our lives and everything to you tonight, Lord. We just say as a group, Lord, that we worship you. We adore you, Lord, and we want to make you famous. That's why we're here. That's why we live, Lord. It's to glorify you. It's to see you exalted, Jesus. It's to see you lifted up. And that's our desire. That's our heart tonight, to do that, Lord, to exalt you in this place, over our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.